Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Go, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. Loaded show today. The aftermath, what could have been for Nebraska in Camp Randall. Got to feel proud. Got to feel excited. Also got to feel a bit heartbroken. All of those things. But it's better to be heartbroken than just flat out PO'd. And so many times in a big game, after a big game, you wake up Sunday morning, head pounding. And then you go into the work week with your friends and you talk football with. And it's like you're just so angry. Distraught because of how your team performed. And that's not the instance you're bringing with you this week after a big game, after a giant stage Nebraska was on. And the best way I can put this, we're going to thank Mick and the boys from the Rolling Stones on this. Their song, Can't Always Get What You Want. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get what you need. I mean, that's the verse. In Nebraska, you didn't get what you wanted. You wanted to win. You wanted to keep clear of Wisconsin in the West race. You wanted to take out a top 11 team on the road at night in that venue. Mm-hmm. But you did get what you need, and that's performance by your defense that was a concern by many going into the season. Your defense is for real. Your football team is for real. You needed some sort of validation. You received that type of validation based on your performance. And for the first time in a long time, you feel absolutely great about your football team. And as a Nebraskan, you want to win. But you're more interested in how you play. And if you play your off and you come up short, then so be it. I think Wisconsin, despite their quarterback play, if they run the table, and we'll see how much energy they have left. They are a very serious consideration for an at-large spot in the college football playoff. They may automatically get in if they win the Big Ten. That would give them three losses if they don't win the Big Ten. Say they win out. Say they win the Big Ten. Their schedule's been brutal enough. They've played well in big enough games, and they've won a lot of those big games, where they'll get a rematch with presumably Ohio State or Michigan. Mm-hmm. They win it. They could be a two-loss team in the college football playoff. People had that much cred and respect for Wisconsin, and then here's your Huskers. You go there, you play them on the road, and you do everything but win. Plenty of room for you this first hour. If you want to join us, you want to talk Nebraska-Wisconsin, we can also get into Ohio State week. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Don't forget, tomorrow, John Mellencamp is coming to Lincoln. If you're not in Lincoln or you are in Lincoln, it'd be pretty cool to go check him out. Let's crank that up a little bit. All right. Hit the board. Just pound it. Come on. Hit the record. There we go. There we go, TJ. Just like 11:30 at night. Just one time. All right. You hear this between now and 6. We'll tell you when to call for your John Cougar Mellencamp tickets. Okay, we're in the middle of football talk. Let's kill the music. But Nebraska, my takeaway is this. It's a game that Nebraska needed. It's not what you wanted, end result, but they needed to validate to the nation. They needed to validate to the fans. And in some degree, to themselves. You feel good. You buy what's going on, but you got to go prove it and do it. They did that. There's still some things to clean up. We'll get in and get caught up with Blackshirt Charlie. Coach McBride is 1 hour away. We had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Husker senior tight end Trey Foster. Great insight from him on the week of prep to Wisconsin and thoughts about Ohio State. So you'll hear from Trey Foster in about an hour and a half. Jay, your takeaways from what went on Saturday night. Are you proud or are you a little edgy because they didn't win it?
I don't know if I'd be proud. I'm not one for moral victories.
See, and I don't want to go that route either, but there's a fine line for me.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
It's a pat on the head.
I'm not a pessimist by any means.
They played a really tough team in a really good football game and almost won.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Listen, I thought this game was 4 points either way. I really thought, I think I said when I was on the show last on Thursday, I expected Nebraska not to get it done. But wasn't going to be completely surprised that they played well and won the game. I just figured their Wisconsin's defense is going to be too much against our beat-up O-line and our offense. And at times it was a little too much, but at times we had some nice counters. We got some haymakers thrown in there and landed, as did they. But overall, I mean, yeah, happy with the way it went down, even though when they scored their first drive up 7-0, I knew it was a long game. I knew we would settle in. I thought Tommy would struggle at times like he did. I knew he would fight and he would compete like he did. This game just shows you how when two good football teams are going at it, how much of an inch in a second makes a world of difference. I have about four plays off the top of my head where, I mean, it was a fraction of an angle or a fraction of too early or too late where it could have been a lot better for Nebraska. And again, some of those things happened in our favor. But overall, I mean, was I happy? No. I thought legitimately just the feel for that game, the way things went, us getting the turnovers late in the second half, them missing a field goal, them missing an extra point. I was like, we're gonna get this done. We're gonna come out here with a W because Wisconsin's letting us hang around here, and we let Wisconsin hang around. I thought we had a chance to end that game in regulation, defensively, in kind of pinning them back after we tied it up. But you know what? We played solid. You know, there's a lot to. A lot of positives to be taken out of this. That's the biggest thing. Before we talking about the moral victories, but there's a lot you can look into this. Say, you know what? Nebraska was pretty damn good on third downs offensively.
It blows my mind.
Right. Nebraska was pretty damn good defensively, stopping third down. There was a few, you know, they didn't throw the ball on us. They hit a couple throws, but you know, they threw for combined quarterbacks threw for about 120. I don't even. It was minimal. I mean,
you got rocked in yards per carry, and they went for two bills on
right.
you. That's, and 120 of the two bills went in the fourth quarter.
Right, and that hurt. But that was a good counter to their point, to what Wisconsin was able to do was convert third and long with runs, when we knew we were in pass rush mode. They had some draws, some different things they threw at us, and it hurt. They caught us in some games up front. The one run I can think of, they ran a draw and. And Mick left his gap because he was running. They were running the ET stunt to his side, and he left his gap, and it was a draw play. That's what I'm talking about—a second or difference in throughout the game where it hurt. It hurt us, but overall, I think you can take a lot of good and build off of it in heading into next week.
That's the vibe I get from these guys. Is there? And Coach Riley said it perfectly, and it was a really cool quote from him. You can either be sad or mad, paraphrasing, you'll hear the whole thing here in a little while, but sad or mad about this, they're going to be mad. They expected to win. They wanted to win. They played well enough to win. Wasn't perfect, but they were not their own worst enemy at a loss for the first time in a long,
correct.
Long, long time against an opponent of that stature.
Two penalties.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last? That's a nice thing is, you know, we didn't beat ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those turnovers, I think you look at the tip ball, it's going to happen. I think the first one where he threw to Alonzo Moore on the double move, that was just a bad read. They dropped back. He was playing a bell technique. It looks like they're in a cover four.
They freaked him out with the passing lanes, right?
That was just a bad read. But, you know, overall, we didn't have the bad penalties of holding on a touchdown and offsides, you know, on a first down play or anything like that, a false start. I mean, we look pretty damn good against an excellent football team.
Let's go to the phones. And if you're trying to get through, a line open at 800-825-5865. Your thoughts on the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. Are you encouraged or are you frustrated that they didn't get it done with the opportunity? I'm going the encouragement card. Sean has been waiting on the line. Sean, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just a couple of things I wanted to share. I spent a lot of time, I think probably too much time yesterday, dwelling on the pass interference call that wasn't called on.
We were getting there, yes.
as I'm sure everyone is. And I hate to be the guy that kind of blames the refs, but I think of that situation that should have been called. But then I guess really it comes back to, I'm really proud of the guys, but I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of missed opportunities where, you know, Gary got us an interception on Wisconsin's side of the field and get a three and out. And then also the decision to, I know you had a matchup with Morgan there on that fourth and eight in overtime, but the decision not to just try and pick up the 8 yards in the first down. Wanted to see what you guys thought on that.
Thanks, Sean, for the phone call. One, you get 3 points out of two interceptions. Nebraska had two of their own interceptions at the 50 or in Wisconsin territory. So as much as this game was about field position, Jay, Nebraska really was bad with managing successful field position. You got to get points. It's an easy take to say, but I think there is a bit of Langsdorf and Armstrong, and you also lump in the O-line where they're just not real confident and comfortable, and I think there's some gun shyness on what you want to really do versus what you can do. It's not an excuse either. That's a reality. Mm-hmm. And I think they got pretty gun shy. They didn't take a shot down deep, and I think part of that was the deflected passes early, the short passing game. Really, they had one of those to DPE on a key third down that they had, but otherwise Wisconsin was all over the short passing game. So what do you do? What can you do? And miraculously enough, Armstrong was phenomenal on some of those third and long plays. Third and short, not so much. So you have to get points there. You weren't running the football. Maybe you could have used him on a rollout. Again, armchair a-hole right here questioning that. Mm-hmm. But that's what you could have done. His strength mm-hmm. is with his legs. Maybe you would have gone that route, and it would have been better for you after that first interception. At least they got points after the second pick to tie.
Yeah. I didn't – the fourth and eight, you know, I thought, you know, get the first down, get a fresh set. But listen, I mean, that's one of those plays I'm referring to where if it was a second earlier, he throws it a second earlier, he catches it for the first down. I don't know if he scores, but it's the first down. He might have scored because Wisconsin was in a cover two there. Was it too deep? They had five guys underneath, you know, and they kind of ran a double slants to the backside, and mm-hmm. it was there. I mean, Tommy said if he threw it a second earlier, it's completed. He has that little bubble, that little pocket that they're in, and he drops it right in there, and he maybe scores, but maybe doesn't, but he gets a first down, fresh set of downs, and you're probably at the five or less to try to – you got four downs to get in from there. So, I don't know. It's always – you can always be 6-1, half a dozen the other. But I like the call because it was there, just poor execution.
I'm going to go to the pass interference call in overtime or the non-call on third and eight. First of all, Westerkamp was bracketed. Two guys were on him. They didn't – I want a better view. I want like a coach's film view mm-hmm. on did he get jacked to where he fell down? Did he get bumped and then fall down is my question because you're going to try and get that call – and prolong mm-hmm. possession. I don't know if it was part NBA or if he actually got mugged. I really don't. And beside the point, you're not going to get that call in that venue mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah.
My
first look at it, I thought, I mean, I could have been thrown, yes, but I honestly
hadn't done anything all game.
Right. Because I can't remember if it was – if it was Beagle or it was Watt that dropped in the coverage there, and it kind of walled off Westerkamp. I thought if Westerkamp kind of flopped a little bit, in my opinion. I thought if
Watt
Westerkamp
was on the coverage.
Yeah, you know, 40 numbers of linebackers. I always get confused.
I'll leave that one alone.
But I thought if Westerkamp still runs and, like, runs into them,
then maybe they have to call it
because it's like, I don't know. I could have seen it getting thrown. I did it. My first reaction to it was, oh, I wasn't as bad as it may have looked initially, and they slowed it down. But, I mean, obviously would love to see it called, but it wasn't a huge deal to me. I don't think we got hosed by any means. I know some people are freaking out.
The whole place, and I'm exaggerating slightly, yeah, this state was on fire about the non-call. Mm-hmm. People are PO'd and got robbed. You got it taken away from you. No, it was a pretty good ball game. You had your chances to win. Nebraska made plays to win. Nebraska left some plays on the field that prevented the win. And, yeah, was there contact? Right, yes. Under the rules, if there's contact, should a flag be thrown? Yes, there are different rules in Madison, Wisconsin at a night game in late October. Mm-hmm. There just are.
Yep.
It's a different rule book.
Yep.
Period.
Well, if the ball was closer, too, it could have...
Right. It wasn't even the catch radius. Mm-hmm. More thoughts. We'll take more of your calls. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Can you hear it? Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Open phone first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More of your calls coming up, 466-3776-800-825-5865. Wherever you hear us across the Hail Varsity Radio Network, Blackshirt, Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, safe driving. It demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska. Alcohol-related, many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Some thoughts coming in on Twitter. Eric tweets a question. What happens with the national media if Nebraska beats the eyes at the shoe? It's a simple saying. The national media now has a new favorite team. Chris tweeted in, input on the non-call on the defensive pass interference in overtime. We just kind of touched on that. Listen, it's a play that could have been called. It's a different set of rules on the road at night against teams of that caliber. You got to overcome. That's not very compassionate, but you don't go and expecting a call. Maybe to get hosed by one. But you've seen the last 3 weeks where there's been some high-pressure moments. I mean, Ohio State didn't get a call. Of all teams, Ohio State didn't get a call at Happy Valley, where the guy was trying to catch the ball with one hand because the other guy was riding his right arm. Nebraska's not going to get that call. Let's not jack around either. This wasn't 82 Penn State. This wasn't Texas 99 when Mike Brown got assaulted mm-hmm. on a holding call, no non-call. And this also wasn't, you know, Eric Crouch, Linda Blair, 1998. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's not – it was a penalty that could have been called but will never, ever, ever get called in Madison on a Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah.
How do you take that as a player? Is there seriously an instance where you just like lose your mind because there's nothing called, or is it part of the context of the moment where you know it's 3rd and 10 and oh crap, now it's 4th and 10?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's tough because that, like I said, seeing it live, it looked worse, but once they slowed it down, I kind of have to side. I side with more of the referees on this. TJ Watt.
Well, you know, it would have been called right. If JJ was covering.
He didn't. I mean, he kind of put his hands up, and he kind of just walled off Westerkamp. Like I said, I think Westerkamp could have done himself a lot more if he starts running. He keeps running, but I think he stopped running because TJ Watt got in his way, and then once Westerkamp kind of realized the ball was coming to him, he kind of fell down on his own. That's how I see it.
There's no way in hell I'm catching this, so let's get something.
Right.
I'm not accusing him of anything unsavory. I'm just saying.
I don't even know if he.
You got to try and make it happen.
I don't know if he.
Help your quarterback out.
I don't know if he catches it if he doesn't get walled off.
Well, he catches everything.
I think it was still pretty far out of his reach.
You're telling me unless he's got go-go gadget arms, it's not happening?
And he's a lot faster. I mean, he's pretty fast, but I don't know if he's that fast.
Got a line open at 800-825-5865. John's been waiting on hold. John, thanks for hanging through the break. John, go ahead.
Yeah, good job on the Southeast East scheme.
Oh,
I listened to
you
and keeping it updated. My thing is, I'm over 70, and you're very diplomatic, but I'm saying that people are tired of that type of, I'm going to say it, crap and officiating. And if the print, the radio, the television, or athletic director aren't going to step up and make some comments about it, people are getting sick and tired of paying good money and seeing that type of refereeing. And I just think if the media or the athletic department, a lot of people are saying they're going to write letters, they're going to get some petitions up because it's ridiculous. I don't pay money to see them have that happen and to put up with
John,
it.
John, did it cost the game?
It could have. And it wasn't just that one call. There was other calls. And I'm saying I've seen bad refereeing all season by the Big Ten referees, where it was not a questionable. I mean, there are calls that are this way, that way. I understand that. But everybody that I've talked to that, you know, are pretty frustrated and are wanting their athletic department, their favorite newscasters, whether it be television or radio or print or whatever, to step up and, you know, ask for fair refereeing and some type of, you know, if it's not right, then
accountability.
Yeah, you know, make these referees responsible for things like that.
John, appreciate your call. Thanks
okay,
again. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Jimbo Fisher went gangster.
See, they're not – okay, Big Ten's not as bad as ACC.
Yeah,
ACC's been god-awful for the last 3 years. Like, they need to figure it out.
Yeah, Jimbo got fined $20,000, doesn't care. The NFL, you had dude for Washington go crazy on a sideline judge verbally after the game, Josh Norman.
Because he got like two hands of the face calls.
It was unpleasant. It was awkward. Listen, the officials, when it was third down and 10, it was not ideal. But again, you put yourself in third and 10.
Let me say this. That play happens in the second quarter. Are people as upset about that not being called?
No, you're in overtime, and they went four plays, 25 yards on your defense. It had killed it all night.
I mean, if you should be mad, I mean, if you want, I mean, I get it, but, you know, things are more under your control. I mean, on that touchdown run, Marcus Newby was unblocked. He missed his tackle, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's bigger and bigger. There's bigger issues.
I want to get to the defense shortly. Want to get to quarterback play on both sides shortly as we talk Nebraska-Wisconsin. Are you encouraged by Nebraska's performance or are you upset they didn't get the win? 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Nate's been hanging on the line. Nate, go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. How are you?
Doing okay. Good ball game. Good ball game Saturday night. Enjoyed it.
It was. I love the Linda Blair reference, by the way. I have never heard that play described as Linda Blair. Chris,
well,
you are money, dude.
Well,
I
mean,
that was great.
Some of us still have to watch The Exorcist with the lights on.
I hear you. It's okay. You know, I'm sure Chris has got, you know, his little things that he's worried about, but it's okay. I'm sure Crouch wasn't vomiting pea soup afterwards. So, overall, encouraged. Now, with regard to the penalty, the issue, in the nature of the penalty, that type of situation, that's not an opportunity for a home team to get a call. If it's, oh, I reached an arm around and maybe I was a half second early, I totally concede, different rule book. But when you look at the way that they impeded the progress of an eligible receiver to the path of the football, that should have been flagged all day. Maybe he doesn't make the catch. Maybe he does. I'm good if they rough him up while he's making the catch. I don't even know if I would have thrown pass interference. It looked almost more like defensive holding would have been a more appropriate call. Overall, I am now firmly in love with Mark Baker. I really am. I love this guy. I cannot wait to see what he's going to do once he actually gets everybody he wants here. I mean, you see the impact of freshmen that he picked out. Kieran Williams is a man. He is doing it. You know, when you get 11 guys that Baker wants specifically for his system, this is a top five defense. This is Narduzzi at Michigan State. There are flashes of it now. When it's all together, I have no doubt. secondary to that, I will say that I am now convinced firmly that Danny Langsdorf is possibly the most brilliant quarterback coach, but possibly the most inept offensive coordinator. We really need to get somebody in here to take away the play calling duties. I don't want to fire Langsdorf. I think he's great as an head coach.
You're way overreacting to that.
No, I'm not, because I'm not basing it off of just this game. This guy has a propensity to bang his head against a door nonstop without any effort to utilize something different. If you need a quick 3 yards in overtime, you don't go back to the dive play that hasn't worked most of the season, by the way, until the fourth quarter. And if your whole gamble is on, well, we always do this in the fourth quarter, so surely now, if you don't recognize the difference in the strength and conditioning program at Wisconsin versus that of Purdue and Wyoming, that alone disqualifies you from that job. You had Westerkamp and Morgan were getting open and making catches on 5 yard out routes and drags the whole damn game. I mean, if you need a quick play, run a bubble screen. You love doing that any and every other time. I mean, why now? You want to run? You have a bad offensive line that is banged up on top of it. You have a running back who, I mean, let's be honest, Terrell Newby is average on a good day. On a bad day,
he's been way above average, Nate. I'm going to disagree with you on the Langsdorf.
I think he's the least flashy running back Nebraska.
I don't care if he's flashy.
Had.
He's been able to get you tough yards on a bad ankle, specifically Saturday night. He can catch the ball.
He can't make his own hole.
The guy's a 4.4 speedster. Don't tell me he's got no explosiveness. Wisconsin's that good.
He doesn't measure up to them.
He's not Amon Green. Fine. You're right.
I'm not insinuating that he's not Dan Alexander.
No, that's right. He holds on to the football.
Well, touche. But you get where I'm going with that. It's just why the play calling is bad.
He is tied up with one hand behind his back between his line, his quarterback, his trust. It needs to be better. I will give you that in big games, Nate. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
But Bird, there's only so much he can do, which kind of leads us to our next point as we kind of wind down the Wisconsin-Nebraska thought. Either you go conservative or it's go big, go home. You had a shorter route. You had Cotton open on 4th and 10. You don't check down. Nebraska's never checked down despite the pleading to check down. Mm-hmm. It's go big, go home. It's the mentality of your quarterback. You've got a quarterback that when we're talking, he's up against it, and it's worst case scenario, chips are down. That's when he's pulling out 3rd and 8. That's when he's making 3rd and 7 happen. When you're riding the obituary here is when Nebraska scores to tie this thing or draws within a field goal, okay? You want to talk inconsistency. There is nothing to hang your hat on offensively. You don't know what they do well right now, yet they still somehow go 9 of 18 on third down,
right,
which blows your mind. What are you supposed to do in Langsdorf's defense with this offensive line? Bless his heart, but the right tackle got whooped like he stole something a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Other
yep.
guys in the line got beat too because Wisconsin's that good. Let's give them some credit. What are you supposed to do? What's the answer offensively? Now, you got to figure out something by Saturday.
Right.
You had something pulled together for Saturday night close enough to get wins.
Right. There were some good calls. People overreact because of those 4 plays on overtime. You know,
and the midfield post interception. There's a sequence of 7 plays you're just like screaming about.
Right. Okay. But I get it. Sometimes people want to freak out about the offensive coordinator, but they don't know. Are they seeing? Are guys executing what their call is? I don't know. I mean, I don't have the coach's tape to tell you. I can't.
Your quarterback is not executing at times. Your line isn't executing at times. And sometimes the defense just beats you.
Right. I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, they're a top 3 defense in the nation, in my opinion, them, Michigan, Alabama. So, I thought you can't chat. I mean, I have zero issue with what Langsdorf's doing, man. I mean, he is hand-tied like a mother up front right now.
We will get further into that. Here's a point we'll make, or I'll make, about Langsdorf and this offense, too. Hail Varsity continues.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, open phone first hour, Charlie McBride 20 minutes away, Trey Foster, Husker tight end, will join us as well. You encouraged by the performance? Are you upset that it wasn't a win? They played well enough to win. I will give Wisconsin this. The game was talked about in quite a bit of depth about, well, what curveballs are going to be thrown? What curveballs will Wisconsin throw Nebraska? What curveballs will Nebraska throw Wisconsin and vice versa? And I think the third down back that just, a guy that kind of hurt Nebraska last year, Ogunbowale, was a guy that had I think he scored a couple other touchdowns last year in Lincoln. Well, they put him in as the third down back, and they were just brilliant with some of their play calls on passing situations, be it a second down and 10 inside their own territory or a couple of just enormous third downs. Nebraska's defense played out of their mind incredibly, except on a second and 10, they get 17 yards, they being Wisconsin, and then a third and 7, they pop for 15. Both of those runs on second and third and long helped lead them out to that 17-7 lead. And then they were able to, in the second quarter, on the field goal drive, Ogunbowale ran for 14 on third and 10 from his own 3.
That hurt.
Those three runs led to 10 of the ten of the points in the ball game, 10 of the 17 in the regular time frame. And otherwise, Nebraska had nothing to sneeze at or apologize for. They got pass rush. They tackled extremely well. The linebackers played phenomenally. Nate Gary for president, dare I say, after how well he played. You have Aaron Williams is playing out of his mind. The interior did well. So I have zero complaints about the defense. They played exceptional. And they gave Nebraska short fields. The offense, though, both these units are complementing each other. The offense had an answer if the defense got stung, and the defense had an answer if the offense needed some help. So I think they're good there. What can you do offensively, though, if you're Nebraska, if you're Danny Langsdorf? I don't know, because your quarterback is one of the main reasons, and you and him have had a lot of heart-to-hearts over the years about just being better with the football, being smarter. And you got to, as a quarterback, and Tommy Armstrong can tell you this, I've got to be better at throwing the football. I've got to hit Riley on a crossing route on third and four. I've got to maybe check down instead of going big or going home on fourth and 10. Would Cotton have been stopped? I don't know, but he was wide-ass open. And then in the same instance, Tommy, that was an insane throw to get 36 yards to Westy on third down when it looks like you're teetering, you being the team, and you're down 7-0, and you've punted five times. So he is dealing with a Rubik's Cube right now of offensive line, no tight end, and a quarterback whose strength isn't throwing in the pocket. He's better on the run and playing backyard football, and that's a compliment because those are the hardest plays to make. Mm-hmm. So right now, you can learn from the Wisconsin loss and hopefully zero in on some things that can happen. And you tell me if I'm nuts here, but the batted down passes and then the interceptions. If I'm Langsdorf, man, I'm thinking twice about what I'm calling based on what's already happened against this defense.
I mean, the first interception, it was a simple misread. I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of odd that – and I don't know if this is
– And you can't run it, by the way, very well.
No.
Offensively.
No, I mean, Neville is an issue at right tackle and pass pro. He is not very good. You saw that in, like, the first time he got knocked on his ass. And then he's bad. He's not very good. You have Farmer go down. Whitaker comes in.
I think he played well. Thought Whitaker
at times. I think he's okay, but he's not.
He's not fun.
There's a reason he's not starting. You know, it's just the inconsistencies of the line. And then it funnels down to your quarterback who, you know what, he struggles in the pocket. He's a little antsy. You already know that. But I mean, the interceptions, the batted pass, those happen. Don't care. Like, that shouldn't affect how you think. I mean, those are going to happen. The guy made a good play. Like, guys, people have, you know, Wisconsin, they have scholarship players too. And they're, like I said, they're a top three defense. I mean, the first interception, it was a simple misread. I mean, you try to stutter go, a double move, and they're not in man-to-man protection. You can't, I mean, if anything, you can't throw it there. You have to recognize that. But a lot of times, and to Tommy's fault, he just kind of, sometimes he just goes and he just throws it, obviously, without really looking. It's just, you know, he just thinks that's the call, that's the play, and he just goes and tries to do it. But that's one where that hurt. And the other weird one was like, I don't know if it was like an RPO run pass option there. It was like, it's kind of a smoke deal off to, I think we are to the boundary. I don't know, third quarter, I believe. And it was too, I don't know if it was too DPE. He was on his by himself down there, and it was like thrown into double coverage, and thank God it was like super behind. It was kind of an awkward, that one kind of had my head scratching. But, I mean, listen, you can pick apart certain things, but Wisconsin's a hell of a defense, guys. People, you got to realize that. Like, they are damn good, all right? They only gave up 14 to Michigan. You see what they did to Ohio State's offense. I know they're struggling a little bit now, but the way they play, I mean, this isn't Purdue's offense. If we, you know, there was more concern about what we did against Purdue's offense than what we did against Wisconsin's, or excuse me, against Purdue's defense.
I thought
what we
seven,
did against Wisconsin's
for them
defense.
To get 17 points out, and these weren't, I mean, they didn't score, they got three of the 17 off of a short field.
We earned them.
Nebraska went 75 yards twice against that
we
defense.
We earned them. It wasn't like they were given to us. It wasn't like we got the short fields. I mean, off those picks, I mean, we got the ball at the 50. That was about it. You know, we didn't have, after punts, you know, we got a couple decent returns, but there were still, that, you know, you still had to go work for it. I mean, you're going to have, I mean, people, you know, Tommy is what he is. He's not going to play perfect. He's going to have issues like, what in the hell is that? That's just Tommy. You know, you're going to have that. Every quarterback has that, unless you're freaking Tom Brady. You know, but you just got to.
And that's the challenge as an offensive coordinator.
Just, right, exactly. It makes it hard. It makes it hard for Langsdorf because he's kind of, you know, because he understands that they're in this ball game. You don't want to.
I'd have a bottle of scotch next to my desk as a play caller
right,
during the game.
It's hard. You have to go.
It's more of an indictment on me, though.
I mean, there's a simple way. You know, as an OC, you know what you're good at. And what you're confident in doing, but the challenge is making it, tweaking it, and making it look different so that defenses don't sit back there and pick it apart. They know, oh, here it is, you know, pistol, shotgun, whatever it is. This is trips to the boundary or whatever, or bunch set. This is, we see this every time.
It can't be like a Tecmo playbook,
right?
Where there's four pass and four run.
Exactly.
So right, guys in motion, we know it's a draw to bow.
But listen. Anything becomes a struggle when your O-line struggles. It's going to be a struggle. It's hard when you cannot block consistently. It is a struggle, and you just, the trust issue is
there.
Then
go get creative on offense, right?
You do your best.
It's Jenga,
right?
You pull that little that wrong block, and it all crumbles. And you got to build around it somehow, some way, successfully. More time to talk Nebraska, Wisconsin. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down hour one, 10 minutes away, Charlie McBride, a little less than an hour away from Trey Foster. If I were smart, I'd dress up in a Halloween costume like Rick Heyman with those 1 carat diamonds instead of candy. That'd work out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go see your friend Rick at Sauter Heyman. He's not handing out 1 carat diamonds, but you can afford them. 1 carat diamonds, select 1 carat diamonds, $100 a month. That's the payment. And can go see your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. Limited time offer for the 1 carat diamonds with Sauter Heyman. With Sauter Heyman, need approved credit. So it'll work out. Go talk to Rick. See what type of bling there is for mama. And the 1 carat diamond, $100 a month. SauterHeyman.com, your best ring, com. Two last questions here, Bird. Mikhail Wilbon, sudden change after interception number one by Nate Gary. Mm. I like Wilbon, talented player, different look. I know Ozigbo and Newby had ankle issues. So there you go. But the zone read game, there were some opportunities, and even Coach Riley said this today, that there were some lanes there to run.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't see it a lot. You saw it on the touchdown, obviously.
Right. Yeah, there's a chance. I just – that kind of – you know, certain issues of the game that you kind of left your head kind of – you're scratching. Like, why is Wilbon on here all of a sudden? You know, hasn't played all game, doesn't have a feel for how the game's going. Has coughed it up a couple times this year, and you know, and just that was like why? I mean, I know he's capable, but it's just backs. You get when you're playing a game, you get a feel for how the game's going, how your offensive line's blocking, how just your eyes, you know, how they just you can differentiate against things, how you see things, and it just was like it's was weird. I get it that he was only our option because guys were getting tended to by the trainers, but that was. I did not like that at all. But other than that, that's the only thing that offensively I was just kind of like, what? I think play call wise, I think people are pretty tough on that. But I think we just miss guys. I think opportunities were there overall. And I think we just miss guys. And Tommy was a little too uncomfortable. And we just flat out missed a lot of pretty good opportunities. And we just didn't take advantage.
I wonder how moving forward you can formulate a game plan because you're taking on a different defense, but a defense the same caliber. When you look at all three levels, the talent level of that Ohio State secondary, Lattimore and Hooker are incredible. I love watching them play. The linebackers are tremendous. Bosa, little Bosa on that defensive line. I mean, you're playing Ohio State. They're sick of not playing good football.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't played good football for a month. Tim Beck's getting the crap kicked out of him verbally by the Buckeye faithful. They're not happy with his play calling. They're not happy with how the offense is going. They are pointing the finger at him. You've got an amazing quarterback that's done everything with his legs and is a much better passer than a lot of dual threat guys are. He'll stay in the pocket. We'll spend some time on Ohio State. We'll spend some more time talking Wisconsin. Coach McBride next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, by day!
Hey, by day!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better! We get
beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're watching the Big Ten Network. It's nice of them to lead off their 5 o'clock show with a tip drill interception on Armstrong. We will take more of your calls and thoughts on the Wisconsin-Nebraska contest. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, and no one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and protect loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, they protect your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years and counting with peace of mind. Proud to support the Huskers. Proud to stand by Nebraska fans. Proud to bring you Emeritus Charlie McBride on Mondays with Hail Varsity. Coach, almost happened. What a job the defense did. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was pretty happy for him. At least my wife said I walked away almost like we won. But,
yeah, right. I said right.
But anyway, you know, I tell you, I hate to keep bringing up good learning lessons, but, you know, those are the ways you can lose games. I mean, you're talking about tip balls. You're talking about all kinds of crazy little things, and that's why I think when, you know, receivers have to understand that, you know, once that thing goes up, that ball's still theirs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, a couple times I noticed that maybe it was just like, oh, it's tipped, and that was it. And I think you saw in the past games, you know, guys caught balls that stayed with it. And but that's not only the only thing. You just notice those little things. Even if they wouldn't have got it, the fact is that they tried to, you know, recover from it and go get it and become a defensive back or whatever you have to be. Because a lot of cases, you know, it's going to be intercepted and you have to become the defensive back, you know, so they don't intercept it.
Mm-hmm.
And but there, you know, there were a lot of improvement. I thought the offensive line showed some guts, and you know, last week I was a little bit worried about them, you know, starting to bend over a little bit. But I thought with all the little time, probably they haven't had as much as most of the other teams' offensive lines working together and doing things because of injury. Those are big factors in, you know, even with guys learning to play together. You have to do it every day, and injuries can choke those things up a little bit. So, you know, but as time goes on, I think you're going to see, you know, actually improvement. Now, next week's going to be a real big test because you're going to, again, you're away from home. But I felt like that there was something there that they, you know, picked up from playing away from home that they didn't do before. And that's just, you know, just play hard the whole time. And, you know, I was pretty pleased, really, in reality. I mean, if I was coaching the team, of course, I'd be probably in a full pout, but I guess I can look at it another way and, you know, really realize what the real facts are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as a coach, you know what the real facts are, but sometimes you just don't want to admit it.
Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, defensively, I mean, Nebraska had Wisconsin down cold. They were good in coverage. They were tremendous when it came to tackling. They played so fast. And I'm thinking Banderas and Gary especially. The interior line, man, those defensive tackles played well. The thing that Wisconsin did, that curveball that Jay and I spent the first hour talking about, and I give Wisconsin credit for this, their third down back, Ogbowale, was so good in the receiving game. Coming in, that's what you saw him scouted for. Well, they ran him on second and tens or third and eights or whatever. And you didn't plan for that. But Wisconsin, I give them credit for running the football on passing, long passing downs, and those were four huge runs that ended up getting scores out of.
Yeah, they were probably the difference in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, those kind of things, you know, there's always something. And as a coach, you're sitting back there going like, oh, we overlooked something, or we, you know, you just sit there and blame yourself, which is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always used to, you know, you never want to try to blame somebody else. You better look at yourself first, mm-hmm. you know, before all that stuff jumps on you. But, you know, I think, you know, I can't, you know, when I walk away from a game, I can and lose, I can feel some good out of it, or I can just feel like, you know, I want to choke somebody. You know, I don't know who it is, but there's usually nobody home when I get there. And
they all run for cover, right?
You know, but I think, you know, it's always like the progress is continuing. And that's what you want to see. You know, and when you start getting setbacks with people getting hurt, with all your receivers out, with your tight end especially being a big part of this offense, not really being there, and it's not that Cotton isn't good enough, it's just that the speed factor of the tight end and the athletic ability, they really miss that part of it. And, you know, and Coach Riley's a big tight end guy, and I think you'll find some schools, maybe their tight end might catch three balls the whole year. You know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I think losing those guys and having them played half hurt and some of that stuff is tough. You know, when you know, in most years we were really fortunate, and if we didn't, we had good depth, enough to go not worry about it too much.
Coach, what do you do offensively? Because that there's been some questions, and some frustration with Nebraska by fans and the play calling by Danny Langsdorf. And based on the injuries, the inconsistency, sometimes your quarterback didn't make the play. Sometimes he didn't have time to make the play. And then there were times he made plays where, how the heck did he do that? Those type of moments. I mean, you saw the gamut against Wisconsin. What do you approach a game in a conservative manner based on what the variables you know you have in front of you if you're Langsdorf?
Well, I think most of the teams, number one, is you want to keep the ball away from them. You want to have the ability to keep the ball. You want to have the ability to both go either way, speed the clock up, slow it down, whatever dictates that. As far as your offense goes, what are the things that we need to run to do that? Mm-hmm. And, I'm always second-guessing, and that's where I have to try to swallow the olive sometimes because, you know, everybody's going to second-guess, the facts. I don't know what the statistics are. I don't know what, the tendencies were that has him calls what he calls. So usually that's the case that they, all the offensive coaches kind of work on. It's not so much the one person calling the plays. Is, usually it's a combination. Now, it was in our way of doing things was everybody has a head in it, everybody has something to say, and it's usually worked out that way. Now, I've been placed where the defensive coordinator, does the whole defense, does everything. Well, I got things prepared myself to do the things that we were going to talk about, that, the tendencies, and that's how I learned there. I'm an old pencil guy. Mm-hmm. A computer, I look at it, and what the hell, you can't read. You have to use a pencil.
Right.
But anyway, that's the way I learned, the old way, fashioned way. And, of course, now it's not fast enough to get all the stuff in there you want. But but I think sometimes you have to have, I always said this, we had four guys on defense, and four heads are better than one.
What did you think? Go ahead.
Yeah.
I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
What do you think of Tommy Armstrong Saturday? How do you think he did?
One play. I saw him, and I'm not going to go. I wanted to jump through the television. He didn't have any pressure on him, and he throws a balloon going just backpedaling and just kept backpedaling and threw it. Mm-hmm. And it was, the end zone shot was on TV. That's what made it worse.
Yeah.
And he wasn't getting pressure. Other than that, it's just, I didn't think he had the best game in the world, but I also didn't think he had the worst thing, and I don't think he was the reason that they lost, or I don't know. I think it was a team deal, really. Yeah. And, those are the best ways to really lose. And, he'll have a great game next week, I think. I really do. I think that he's sitting there. He's going to be matched up with a guy that's overshadowed him in the Big Ten, as far as being that kind of a quarterback. And I think you're going to see some pretty good things out of him.
Always responds, doesn't he? Just when you
right.
kind of count him out, he always responds. Coach, let's talk Ohio State and Nebraska. And Coach Riley said it best today. He thinks his team will be mad, M-A-D, going into Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Nebraska can do against Ohio State as loaded as they are?
Well, play hard and good, and what happened at Wisconsin, the ball bounced the right way for them, the tips and things like that. That's when you get into a game like that, it's turnovers, it's penalties, and you got to just eliminate those things to even have a chance against a good team, because if you have a lot of turnovers or you have a lot of penalties in critical situations, you're shooting yourself in the foot, the old saying, and you're going backwards. It's the worst thing in the world you can see, and you're going to watch it every day on Sunday. These guys take the ball down the field, and a lot of people are saying, well, this team's a great team inside the 20s. After that, they're done. Mm-hmm. They can move it up and down the field and do all these things, but once they get inside that red zone, they all crumble. And that's probably one of the things that I would say that if Nebraska has to really concentrate on is inside that 20-yard line and, getting that ball in and try to get away from some of these field goals against good football teams. And as you know, Ohio State hasn't, given a lot of touchdowns against the run. So I think one thing, that's a challenge. To me, that's a huge, huge challenge for the offensive line and for the running part of the game. you know, I think they can throw the ball against them. I can throw the ball against anybody. But, you know, as far as the running game goes, and they're a team, you just keep them off the field. And but you don't want to make your offense so obnoxious that you keep them off the field. I mean, you have to have a little bit of juice in you to take some chances and mm-hmm. do some things. And, you know, I think Coach Riley is, you know, maybe a little bit recently, maybe stepped in a little more.
Okay.
Just from seeing things in the offense a little bit more on maybe suggestions as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the head man, so he has that right. But I think, you know, when he's hired somebody to do it, I think he, you know, feels obligated that guy's going to do it. And I don't know that for a fact. I don't know. I'm just reading between the lines what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know that I just think that they're coming on, and I don't think they'll ever be. I hope never put in an embarrassing situation mm-hmm. at all to set them back. I think they're headed forward right now.
Coach, about 60 seconds. How do you defend that mobile quarterback? What do you do with Barrett?
Well, I've always said it 1,000 times. I love pressure coming from the outside and to squeeze them into the people. And the corners cannot get beat outside. Boy, this place is jumping.
What is that?
That's my brother calling on another phone that is hooked up to our phone. I don't know how to turn this thing off. That's Bill calling. Turn it off. This is like a. Debbie's got the phone set up so it goes to our cell phone and to our regular phone.
Ah, there we go.
That's how, I guess. I don't know all. She's the electrician. I'm just work here.
So hi to your brother, but you bring pressure from the outside back to Barrett.
Boy, I get some stuff from him. What's going on? You know, I mean, like. Yeah. You know, here I am sitting at home, you know, and they'll call me on the phone. I'm going like, what, you know, are you doing to me? I've done that before. Don't do it to me anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
and
so, but, you know, football's crazy. But, you know, you love the game because it is. And the thing is when you lose, it hurts like heck, and it hurts the players, and that's where I think he's coming from. I think that, you know, calling a play, if you're a good team, mm-hmm. it doesn't make any difference what play it is. It ought to work.
Yeah.
You got good players. And I go, he's told me years ago, he said, Coach, you want to be a good coach? He said, get good players. And that's pretty much where you look at the teams that are great teams have good players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the story of the whole game of football. And then coach them. You know, you gotta coach them, and you got to be sure that they're doing everything right. You know, it's a age-old thing. Perfection is what you're looking for.
Well, Nebraska, another chance on a giant stage against Ohio State. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity. Coach, say hi to your brother for us, and we'll catch up with you next week.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that was funny. That was great. I want that phone at home.
No, you don't.
Coach, good to talk with you. Be good.
Okay, get them coached up.
Will do.
See you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Good. Talk to you next week. Bye.
There he is, Blackshirt Charlie, Coach McBride. That was an insane phone.
It's always his brother. He's walking on the house.
Well, right.
He's,
that one time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spaz is here. That's what he called him.
That guy's spastic. No. Well, there you go. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll spend some more time on it next segment. You know, getting after Barrett. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Because that guy's going to be a pain Saturday night, no matter what mm-hmm. you try and do. And the validation question. Nebraska on a stage. Nebraska an opportunity. Well, did you see it? As a Nebraska fan, you're the toughest critic to impress. Did Nebraska validate themselves to you as being one of the top football teams in the country?
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
I think our team actually will be mad. I think you can be sad or you can be mad. and you can have a chip on your shoulder and get and know we can be better and go play hard, which we'll have to play hard and well to win. Well, hard and well to win the game. That's the approach I think our team will take.
Coach Riley today at the press conference. I want to remind you about your friends at Zipline, Zipline Brewing. And they are from Lincoln. They are brewed in Lincoln, and they pour that beer for you in Nebraska. They're passionate. They're experts. And I want to tell you about what's going on with Zipline. First and foremost, if you haven't tried a Zipline today, do so. And they are gold medal winning. Copper Alt is so tasty. They're nationally recognized for their IPA. 40 different beers. That's something you'll love. A beer for every taste. And there's two locations in Lincoln, the original tap room you should visit out on West O, and the new beer hall, South 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. If you're coming into town for a Nebraska game, coming in for the holidays, you're headed this way for some tournaments, I encourage you to go find the Zipline tap room on 56th and Pine Lake, the modern German beer hall. I thought I'd just check it out. 24 taps, community tables. It's awesome. And lastly, if you're in central Nebraska or western Nebraska, northeast Nebraska, wherever you hear us here on Hail Varsity, try a Zipline today. They're on draft, and there are six packs available to you across the state. Find one at your local grocery store, the bottle shop, and find Zipline when you come to Lincoln for a visit. Brewed in Lincoln, poured for all of Nebraska, your friends at Zipline. Go see Marcus and the gang. Zipline Brewing is tremendous. So the hours, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sundays, noon to 6 at that new beer hall on 56th and Pine Lake. Okay, I need a Zipline right now.
No, it sounds pretty tasty.
Because we're going to get into...
I like the Kolsch from Zipline.
Kolsch is high five. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you need. Validation. When you win the gold medal, you're validated. When you have a nationally recognized IPA, you're validated. Did a loss Saturday night validate Nebraska for you? Apparently in the top 25, you either drop four or two spots when you lose in overtime. I'm good with that. What I saw with my eyes, the way Nebraska played, the way Nebraska kept making plays, the fact they put 10 points up in the fourth quarter. Again, one of those teeter moments. You're down 17-7, and your offense hadn't done much. You're down 20-7 to Oregon. Your offense hasn't done much. You're teetering. I saw a team continue to find a way. So do I think Nebraska – I really struggled with that. I didn't think Nebraska was top 10 good. I think they're rankable, yes, because they're unbeaten. In college football, Clemson or Louisville or pick somebody that's supposed to be awesome is going to have an off week or two. So that's kind of your argument based on your performances against the Illini or Purdue. How are they going to stack up against a team like Wisconsin on the road? Place that's been brutal
nightmare
for them. And they did it. They should have won it. They could have won it. So is Nebraska top 10? Based on what I've seen, they're not Bama. They're not Clemson. Then they're maybe a step or two at this point, and I put Wisconsin and Ohio State in that realm too, of teams that are absolutely playoff contenders. Nebraska goes and does their business Saturday night. They get a win in Ohio. Hell yeah. I mean, they're there. They looked that good. They looked that capable Saturday night. So did they validate themselves? To me, absolutely, I say they did. And Wisconsin, I know they're a two-loss team. They are as good good a football team in the country as there is, not named Alabama. Totally believe that. You go toe-to-toe with them and force overtime where you could have won it. Yeah, Nebraska validated. I think the nation kind of woke up and saw that there is something that needs to be recognized about this team. So they are validated to me. Do you need further validation, though, as a Nebraska fan? Or are you on board with this team being a program and team to be reckoned with? And again, you have that, are they back? That turn the corner question. I'm not jumping into that pool. I'm just talking based on what I saw against an incredibly good football team who's not perfect. I mean, their quarterback struggles are real, but they can at least run the football compared to some other teams. So, yeah, I think they did the job they needed to do.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's a they are progressing nicely. It's a step in the right direction. I think anybody from, you know, you look at last year and you compare it to this year, it's not even, can't even do it. You look at things they're improving on. It's noticeable. And if you'd asked me if they were they'd be 7-1 now and they lost to Wisconsin in overtime, I think everybody in Nebraska that's a Nebraska fan would say, take it in with 100%. And feeling, in a way, I think people feel pretty good about heading into Ohio State. I think you see Ohio State is a great football team. Are they Bama good? No. Do they have issues? Absolutely. They've been in dogfights their last three games. One includes a loss at Penn State. Haven't played great at home either this year.
And they handed that over
right
to Penn State.
Right. So, you know what? I expect Nebraska to play well again this weekend. Is it going to be a tough, tall task? Absolutely. But it's definitely doable. It's more...
I think Nebraska's tough enough to go hang in.
Yeah,
there.
I do. And I think if you'd asked me, after seeing, this is crazy, I think you go back 2 weeks, I'm completely flip-flopped. Now, after seeing Ohio State and Wisconsin play more and more, I think it might be more doable to win at Ohio State than it is Wisconsin.
No, just based on as talented and fast and athletic and as sick as the Ohio State defense is, I don't think they're as disciplined as Wisconsin's.
No, they're not as good as Wisconsin's. No.
Right?
No.
So if you can squeeze
offensively,
out...
Offensively, they're way better.
They're a whole different nightmare.
That's the main issue.
But Nebraska's defense is playing at a level where... Mm-hmm. But again, this is apples oranges. You're talking stationary quarterback that did not beat you, could not beat
right.
you. Both of the rotating, you know, two quarterback monster that Wisconsin's created. Barrett's a whole different special mm-hmm. hell because mm-hmm. this guy is just going to rock it, and he knows it's on him. He's got weapons around him, but they've not gone downfield, and that's allowed some teams to hang around.
They've had offensive line issues, lost another offensive lineman for the year.
I mean, Effling's nice at center, but yeah, they're young.
Struggling.
They're young.
I mean, they're only playing a couple seniors mm-hmm. offensively, you know. So it'll be interesting, but listen – They're moving in the right direction. That's the best thing. You know, I said anything above 8-4 this year for Nebraska is
they've kind of blown that out of the water. Based on how they've kept progressing,
right? Anything you know, over eight and four.
It's a whole different conversation post Purdue, isn't it?
Oh, wait, without a doubt.
Where you're just like, what the hell is going on?
That's just, you know, that was overachieving in my book. I thought anything over 8-4 that's a that's a phenomenal step in the right direction. And it's looking realistically, I mean, 10-2. I mean, 10-2, 11-1 is right there. I mean, don't think that you're delusional in thinking that this team can go in there and beat Ohio State. They can do it. Listen, this team reminds me a lot. I was working out today and watching the BTN. This team reminds me a lot of Michigan State last year. I think people want to kind of go in with Iowa. No, they're a little I think it's way different. I think this team reminds me more of Michigan State last year. I think Michigan State struggled at times doing some football games. They won ugly. You saw the Michigan game last year. Right. They obviously come in, lose to Nebraska, but then they go to Ohio State without Connor Cook.
And they just got it out.
And they beat them. You know? So I'm not trying to be full-on Kool-Aid guy here drinking it, but listen, I mean, this team has some guttiness and toughness in it that they can grind this out. This team can grind out the wins. Now, I said it before, this team plays to its competition. It's a good and a bad thing.
Well, and Maryland doesn't suck. Minnesota's 6-2.
Mm-hmm. And Iowa's.
You're at Ohio State and then Iowa. I mean, no, you've got this, the rest of your schedule has your attention.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So did Nebraska do what they needed to do to validate themselves to you? Mm-hmm. You're the stakeholder. You're part of the 1.8 million that love this team. Did they validate themselves to you? You're the biggest critic. You care the most about them. Did you see what you needed to see to feel better about this team moving forward? John's been on hold for a little while. John, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with all your points. I think they're great. I think our defense is playing a lot better than anybody would have expected them to. And I think we need them to with an offensive line that's walking wounded and backs that are hurt. But to get it down to being a great team, it boils down to just almost plays. And one play that I don't think I've heard a lot of people talk about, maybe you guys have, but in the first half, we had Wisconsin 3rd and 10 at their own 6-yard line.
The run game, right?
Yeah, and yep. We gave them the first down.
They earned it, but Nebraska thought they were throwing. Ongabowale ran it, and
it was
on.
Killer. Yep. I mean, we're looking at points there for sure.
Well, field
the ball
position
probably inside the 50 with it. So our defense has to continue to give our offense short fields, and special teams can do that too. But you know, that was a huge play, I thought, where we definitely could have had points. And then following the interception, I know you guys have talked about that, getting points there. But, man, we had that game won. So, I mean, I feel good the way we played, but I feel terrible because we should have won it.
I'm so happy that it wasn't a blowout, but damn it, didn't win it. John, thanks
exactly.
for the call. Appreciate it. 466-377-6800-825-5865. You know what? I love watching and listening to the emotions mm-hmm. of the fans as you take this ride through 2016, because it's gone from 7-5, 8-4, 9-3 to okay, you beat Oregon to you are what's going to happen against Wisconsin. It is your test. It shows you how good you are. It is the. It's the peer in the league that has mirrored themselves after you, and you go hang right there, and you should have won that game.
Right.
And now it's the bar. It's the gold standard. I mean, you are in line and have a date with the team that you need to take down to go beyond just a conference title. Trey Foster, Husker, up next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text Hale to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Hennig.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back in Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska tight end Trey Foster with us. Trey, hey, great ball game for Nebraska. So, so close. And let's go back a week and tell me a little bit about the prep you saw from yourself and the teammates getting ready for this stage.
When it was getting ready for Wisconsin, you know, we made sure that communication was key because we knew it was going to be loud out there. We knew it was going to be a wild stadium. And we knew they'd throw things at us like stemming defenses, especially with the loud noise, not being able to necessarily hear the hut the best way. You know, we just made sure that we made this prep about us, and that's the same way we're going to do it this week.
How'd you feel about the offense? Against a defense like that, it's going to be tough. 10 points in the fourth quarter, forced overtime. What were you pleased with offensively? What are some things just generally that you kind of want back?
First off, what I'm happy about is that, you know, we struggled somewhat in the second quarter, and we put points up in the second quarter. That was nice. And I was also pleased about the fact that, you know, we fought the way we did, as we've been doing in the fourth quarter, and came in and tied it up. Things that I wish we could have done a little bit different, just making sure that we know the details of everything we do so that we can put ourselves in the best situations on the field. You know, there are always things out there on the field that, you know, coach is going to tell you, when you look at film after practice and after games, it's not as good as you thought it was, and it's not as bad as you thought it was either.
What did you take away from the review session? What was kind of touched on by your group? How do you think the tight ends performed? What's the attitude moving forward? I mean, is it frustration because you were so close? Are you guys more hungry?
or is it different than maybe in the past with after a big game?
After this one, you know, it was just more about knowing we got to get back to work on Sunday. You know, it's always tough after a game that comes down to it at the end and you don't pull through. It's tough sometimes. But, you know, this is a group that's dealt with those kind of losses before. We're not new to those. And we're not new to coming up short sometimes when we give our best effort. But we came back to film. You know, we addressed the things that we should have done better and that we will in the future. I don't expect guys to be hanging on to this loss for a long time because we got a lot more things to do for the rest of the season. We've got a good amount of season left. And how it's different from last year, probably. You know, I feel like we've done a better job this year in some of the games that are expected to win. Still, we're still a team that's playing four quarters. So I feel like we're putting ourselves in better situations than we were last year. And that's really helping us out, especially when it comes down to the end of it.
Couple more minutes here, Trey Foster, Hale Varsity Radio. Confidence-wise, was there any doubt heading into Saturday that you guys could hang, or did you go in ready to kind of be the aggressor, be that team that throws the punch from a mentality standpoint?
You know, our defense going into it was probably the most confident I have seen in a long time. That really made me confident as well, because you see the other side of the ball that much more confident than possibly you're even. And that makes you think, okay, well, you know, we go against them every single day. And they're coming into this with the best mentality. I love it, and I'm going to make sure I do my job because I know they're going to do theirs, and they did their job. They had a great game. And if we were confident going into it, we knew that we could compete with this team. A lot of us remembered 2 years ago going to Wisconsin and getting embarrassed, and that hurt. That pain, we remembered. We didn't forget that, and we came in there with a purpose to go out there and play a good game of football. And I'm proud of us, proud of the effort we gave, and I'm excited to see what we've got this Saturday.
It's a little payback in the back of the mind?
From last week? Yeah, a little bit.
Trey, let's talk about Ohio State. You're a guy that has watched and grown up with some college football. When you think of Ohio State, what comes to mind?
Playmakers. Playmakers, they got them all over the field, and that's on defense, special teams, and offense. And so they know how to make plays out of nothing. They got a lot of guys that can do that. And with that in mind, you know, we've just got to stick to our fundamentals and giving the ball to the playmakers that we have, and letting the guys that are on defense that can make big plays do what they do. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're a team as well that's got guys that are going to make big plays, make things happen, play a game that's going to be full of game changers, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a really exciting game.
Just watching Tommy, his body language, his attitude this year, I mean, you want to talk about the epitome of your senior quarterback. He's been there and been pretty locked in. He's led the offense in an effective way. What have you seen from him as a player when there's some adversity? I mean, have you been pretty impressed by his leadership and how he's responded?
He feeds off of the defense, and if they let up a touchdown, he's like, all right, let's go score then. And if they make a big play, he's like, all right, let's go score then. Every single time. It's the same attitude every single time. And that consistency is really helping. It really helps the offense because, you know, no matter what, you're going to feed off of your quarterback. He touches the ball almost every play. And so if he's coming out with a wishy-washy attitude, then you don't know how to feel about it. And some guys don't go with that well. And to have somebody consistently in there that got the same attitude every single time just makes it for a less of a roller coaster kind of game, and just makes it more steady and gives us what we need.
Trey, now I got to bring this up. Some of us in the room here graduated from Southeast a long time ago. Some of us not so long ago. And the Southeast Knights had a 21-0 lead over East, opening round of the playoffs here. And East got hot. Tip your cap to them, 24-21. As a Knight, how do you react?
Disappointed. Yeah. Just disappointed. You know, they played. You got to play a full game.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's why you play the game, too. Yeah, you know, things on paper don't always go the way they look in the game, and that's why you play the game. And so, you know, yeah, you got to tip your cap to the Spartans for coming back and fighting back hard. It reminds me of our comeback game against Grand Island my senior year, coming back to win 28-27. And
you guys won state, didn't you?
Yeah, we won state at the end of the year, too. So that was a good senior year.
There we go. Little night love. And next year, I guess, for Southeast. Trey Foster. Trey, best of luck, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Breezy and 72. Then Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a high of 65 with a slight chance of showers. At your Capital City forecast on ESPN 1480 KLMS, Lincoln's number one station for sports.
You know us. We know sports. We're ESPN 1480 KLMS, Lincoln's sports authority. Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
When it's months away, it's kind of exciting. And then you're in it. So where we are right now with that loss on our heels, but this year, I'm just looking forward to getting with this team. I love our team and what we're getting to do. So we're going to go after these guys and see what we can get done. We know it's a big chore. This is a good football team that's well coached with a lot of good players. So we're going to go get ready to go and find a way to beat them.
Mike Riley, you know, back-to-back opportunities for Nebraska. Pretty funny at the press conference where he was talking about, you know, a while back this looked pretty sweet. Now he's like, oh, my God, you have back-to-back games at night. And there was a comment he makes earlier, too, and we'll have more audio. We'll play this throughout the week, really. I mean, just a good press conference about either you step up or you get left in the dust. Paraphrasing, maybe changing some words, but the gist was there. Your chance, one pair, two tickets tomorrow. John Mellencamp at the Leeds. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. TJ's like, no, we have two pair, four total. Two pair of tickets, four tickets total. John Cougar, Mellencamp. Callers 5 and 6 want to go see Mellencamp tomorrow in Lincoln. 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Don't even have to dress up like Mellencamp. Don't have to have the Mellencamp dental plan. You can just be caller 5 or caller 6 now to get John Mellencamp tickets. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Caller 5, caller 6. Jay Moore is air guitaring like a mother.
Always do.
It's pretty good. John Cougar. Mellencamp. We should play classic rock DJ.
Hey, I got a question.
Here's Mellencamp on the Eagle.
Would you go trick-or-treating as an adult if they handed out beer?
The only costume party I've ever wanted to go to was Hef's Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period.
The Grotto.
Let's stay out of that. I know.
Why would you stay out of that?
Why? Because rashes and other problems. Where'd you get that? Heffs? Mm-hmm. Does it come off? No.
Yeah.
Never. No, I mean, I just, like, I have a guy.
I know,
I had a buddy that got to go to Heffs.
I'm kind of a
like
funny
pajama hater. Party.
Yeah, I think I dressed up maybe once or twice, like, as an adult for Halloween.
It's a costume party. It's all good.
Right.
So it's okay. If it's a costume party.
Wouldn't that be kind of funny? You went to the house and they handed out, like, sweet beers.
That'd be nice. That'd be okay. I'd like that.
I mean, just hypothetically speaking, maybe kind of a fun deal.
I mean, there's some uniforms that'd be pretty cool. Are we done with music? Okay, DJ. Still taking your calls. Caller 5, caller 6 for John Mellencamp tickets tomorrow. DJ will get you hooked up. But no, I'd totally do a costume party.
Yeah, I've done a costume party in a while.
Now the question is what do I have the bunny dress up as, costume-wise?
Bunny? is that too easy?
Yeah, I'm thinking the nurse uni.
Yeah.
I don't wear a hat.
You should. Tomorrow at 4, find us. Thanks.